Acts chapter 9, verse 11. You had to turn to it. I just want you to leave your Bibles open, Ephesians chapter 1. Ananias, listen to what the Lord spoke to him. Go to the street called Straight, go to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for there he is. Have a guess what he's doing? He's praying. Oh boy. These were them 3 days complete blindness. I'd love to know what Saul were praying. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, there's a united prayer. It's the highest point of church life. In Acts it says that there were many gathered. Gelling of hearts and minds. And so Acts chapter 12, this is where James has just been killed. Peter's in prison. And it says that the people gathered, there were many, and they were praying. Again, what were they praying for? They're praying for Peter's release, but I don't think they expected it to be like this. When an angel came and tapped Peter and said, get up, put on your cloak, follow me. The chains were broken, the doors were open. He was led right out of the prison, right through the city, a dark city, right to the place where they were praying. And I don't know if you and I believe this stuff for today. But as I was reminded this morning that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never, never changes. He can do things that he has promised. Do we believe this? Absolutely, we do believe this. Another one is in this prayer meeting, they were specific, they were concentrated, they were tunnel vision, they knew what they needed to pray and ask God for, and God broke through. Listen to Job. Of all that he went through, 40 chapters, just getting it up to God because he was going through an awful time, 300 questions he asked God that he's never asked God before because of his pain, because of his circumstances. And do you know when God broke through? It's in chapter 42, I think it's verse 10. And it says that, and God changed the captivity of Job. It means his whole circumstances when he prayed. Not for himself, but when he prayed for his friends. Wow. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is really incredible. Let me just read something to you. Peggy and Christine Smith, 84 and 82 years old, involved in the revival of Lewis. This is what whets my appetite to pray. This is the promise that God gave to him. Isaiah 44, verse 3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. That is the promise that they clung to. That is the promise that they prayed through night and day until God broke through and actually fulfilled his promise. The first letter that was sent to Duncan Campbell to speak on the island of Lewis, he couldn't go. The second letter and his reply was exactly the same. He can't come. And this is what Peggy said. That's what man says, but God has said otherwise. Write again and he will be here in 2 weeks. How did she know that? In 2 weeks, revival began. Peggy and Christine were praying and sent the following message to the minister. This is what they put. We struggled through the hours of the night, refusing to take a denial. Had he not promised and would he not fulfill? Our God is a covenant-keeping God and he must be true to his covenant engagement. Did he fail us? Never. And before the morning light, we saw the enemy retreating and our wonderful lamb take the field. I'm already getting goose pimples. When asked what supported their faith in prayer, she said, we had a consciousness of God that created a confidence in our souls which refused to accept defeat. One of the reasons why Duncan Campbell doubted the wisdom of Peggy was because of this. This is what he'd said. Peggy, I doubt your wisdom because the people of the village are not in favour of this type of meeting. This is what he told her. And then her reply was this. Mr. Campbell, if you were living as near to God as you ought to be, he would reveal his secrets to you too. Now that might sound really bold, but Peggy knew her prayer life with God. She were there. Duncan Campbell knelt with Peggy on the floor. And this is what Peggy said: "Lord, you remember what you told me this morning, that in this village you are going to save 7 men who will be pillars in the church of my fathers. Lord, it seems I have given your message to Mr. Campbell and he seems not to be prepared to accept it. Oh Lord, give him wisdom because he badly needs it." What a woman. Duncan spoke and Peggy's 7 men came forward. How did she know? God can lead in different ways and often through circumstances, but when he begins to speak, wow. When God begins to give us promises, when you and I spend time praying, that's when things begin. And I'm just going to throw out a question to you. Do you know what God is doing? Do you know his heart for Lerwick Baptist Church and the church on the island? Do you know what his plan and his will is for Shetland? This has really challenged me. And God has reminded me of the time that he moved in the Middle East. And God's always doing stuff. He's always up to things. And you and I, he wants us to be engaged with that, with him. But praying is one of the most difficult things that we do. Even the motivation to pray. Someone said this years ago, you will begin to pray properly when you have finished your routine prayers. I remember Luke years ago, this is what his routine prayer was. Every night, he got some friends called Ben, Joe and Jessica, and this is what he used to say: "Dear Lord, I pray that you'll bless Ben, Joe and Jessica. Amen." That was his routine prayer. You and I have got routine prayers. And often they can be for self or they can be for family. But when God begins to speak to us and we really hold on to him, and God begins to answer us when you and I really, really mean business with him. And when I look at the early church, they were together. They were in one mind. God gelled them. Then he began to break through. Why am I saying this? Because for me, I don't want to play church. I don't want to mess about. I want to do what God is doing. I want to hear his heart. I want to know his mind. I want to jump in feet first and say, "Lord, use me. Let me get on with it. By your Spirit, empower me." So this really, really challenging. This is a one-off meeting this morning. But I think it is so, so important. This is what psychologists speak about the word integrate. Let me just say this. A certain process which operates in the minds of those who are often in each other's company, by which they tend to grow like each other. Just keep your thumb in Ephesians and just turn over to Exodus chapter 33 and verse 13. Exodus 33. Listen to the heart of Moses. It's incredible. It's just one verse. And we're going to be looking at another one. This is what it says. "Show me now your way that I may know you. Show me now your way that I may know you." This is another one from Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. Moses, who the Lord knew face to face. Moses spent 40 days with God on a high mountain. Now, if you imagine, this is what I picture things like. Right from the bottom, going right to the top, Moses will have had to climb over boulders and through thistles and brambles to actually get to the top. And sometimes you and I have to do that when we're praying. You and I have to battle through things until we get to that place where you and I know that we have spent so much quality time with God. I want to ask you another question. Have you ever been in the presence of God where you don't want to eat and you don't want to sleep because you're scared of losing what you have? Have you ever been there? This is Moses. He battles through and he gets to the top. And then he spends quality time with God, 40 days. And as he spends time with God, then God reveals to Moses his plan Sometimes you and I get that the other way around. Will you show me? Will you speak to me? And God wants you and I to know him, to spend time with him more. This is what I love about Peggy. What an incredible woman. She knew. She knew. So did Elijah. Elijah, you'll find in the book of James, James described him as a man who prayed and a man who prayed again. He also described James as a person like, he's like us. It's flesh and blood, all the struggles, all the things that we go through. Elijah is exactly the same. But they that climb the highest can see the furthest. They that get to the high view can see a far view and a full view and a clear view. And as Moses spent time with God, when he's coming now down from the mountain, he's no idea that he's glowing. He is radiant. And this kind of, because he's rubbed shoulders with God, there's an evidence that he's been with God. Can you remember in the book of Acts where it says, they took notice of him because they had been with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I find this really challenging. I find it encouraging. I find that it spurs me on. Here's another one, Matthew 17, verse 1, Luke chapter 9, verse 29. You don't have to turn to it. This is the transfiguration. This is Jesus taking Peter, James, and John. Where does he take them? He takes them up again to a high mountain. And right before him, he transfigures before him. And you'll find that these words come. It says, as he prayed, his countenance changed. As Moses spent time with God, he began to glow. But you'll find all this biblically in prayer. While Jesus was praying, then he became transfigured before him, and his clothing began to glow because of his glory within, shining through his clothing. That must have been really incredible for Peter, James, and John. Ephesians chapter 1. Just turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. Because you might be thinking, yeah, but Pete, that's okay. I understand where you're coming from, but that's way back in Old Testament, and this revival happened I don't know when it was, but 40s and 50s. It's a while ago. But what about now? What is God saying to us now? Listen to Ephesians. There's some incredible themes through this book. It's known as the Queen of Epistles. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God. If you think that God's miserable, he's not. Because blessed, it's talking about being a happy God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This word blessed has got behind it praised with worshiping love. As we go on through this, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us. Wow. He's chosen us. He's chosen you, even before you were born, before you were educated, before you got any titles, before you went on any programs, before of anything, God chose you and I. That's amazing to think. When I'm full of failures and I'm full of flaws and I'm full of faults, God chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. Wow. Verses 7 and 8, it talks about Jesus' work, his redemption, his forgiveness through his blood, the riches of his grace that abounds towards us. Folks, this morning, God abounds still towards you and I with love and with grace. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel overwhelmed when I realize that, when the penny drops. So verses 7 and 8, we'll just keep going. Abounds towards us with all wisdom and prudence. Verses 9 to 12 speaks about the mystery of his will. Verses 13 and 14. And then God's Holy Spirit. We are sealed with, it's a guarantee we've got God's own possession. Verses 15, 16, it talks about praise and thanks. And then we come to these two verses. And these are the verses. Sealed with him. verses 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom. Folks, listen, he's speaking to church already. To give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know. Folks, God's not hiding from us. He wants us to know. And if you go on reading the rest of that chapter, let's just have a look, that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are, and it goes on and on and on, and it's like, God wants you and I to know. And all of a sudden the penny dropped. Elijah, Peggy, Moses, they knew. God revealed his secrets to them. Won't that be something as you and I spend time really focused praying that God would begin to reveal his secrets to us? This is what something, as I look back over the Middle East period and looking at the church today, when we began to pray, when we really meant business with God, something spiritually happened within us. We began to hear, we began to understand, we began to see. And God is reminding me, he said, Pete, that is where I want you and this church to be. Maybe even God's going to call us to all night prayer meetings. I don't know. But all I do know is God wants to reveal things to us. For now, for the future, of what God wants to do on this island. But folks, it comes through praying. And it comes through praying together, where God fixes us in one mind and in one heart. And all of a sudden we begin to get to the top of the mountain where we can hear God. Moses knew. God revealed things to him. Just in closing, I want to tell you a story about a young crippled girl. She was bedridden. This is a true story. And all that she did was pray. She used to talk to God all the time. And she prayed for God to move within her town. And God began to move within her town, and this young girl passed away. Before she passed away, she told her mum, she says, Mum, I'm praying for certain people to come to know Jesus before he takes me home. And this move of God within this town went on for about 3 to 4 months. During that 3 to 4 months, 10 people came to know Jesus. Then 10 people were found on a piece of paper underneath this young girl's pillow. 10 people that she'd been praying for. Wow. But folks, you and I, to me, I think this is so, so challenging, of getting hold of God. You know what I love about Peggy? This is what she said. We would not take no for an answer. And then she says, as we continue to pray, we saw the enemy on the run. Wow, what does that mean? What do you mean you saw the enemy on the run? I don't know how you picture the enemy, but he's very crafty and he's very sly and he blinds people's minds. But this is what it says in 1 Peter. Resist the devil and he will run away. Amen? One thing missing. First bit. Resist the devil. Submit to God. It's the submitting part. Submit to God, then resist the devil, then he is on the run. I can guarantee that when you and I begin to mean business with God, the enemy's going to have a right pop. He's going to have a right go. And that's a good sign, because it means we are moving. So all I'm saying is, folks, this morning, I really believe God's got an incredible purpose and a plan. But the enemy will try everything to stop that happening. So when things begin to happen in your life and in your family and within the church and around here or wherever, it's a good sign. I learnt this quote in the Middle East. Persecution is the devil's compliments. And yet God has given us victory. Hallelujah. He has given us victory. So folks, this morning, I just want to encourage us. Just as you love God and as you serve him, that your prayer life and my prayer life, hopefully our prayer life, will become so enriched we can't wait to meet together. To press things through, to see things through. He's got all authority and power. But he wants to release that by his spirit in the church. Amen. Oh boy, I've only got a couple of nods and a few amens. Folks, we live in exciting days. We really do. And God's doing something new. He's doing something great. Let's just bow in prayer this morning. This has just been a one-off. And I'd like us just as we sat in silence, just to ask ourselves these questions. Lord, what are you doing? Lord, what are you going to do? Lord, would you speak to me? Lord, increase my faith in you. Increase the time that I spend with you, Lord. I want to spend time getting to know you. Thank you, Lord, for your speaking voice. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God of encouragement, the God of strength, the God who knows today and tomorrow. Oh God, we want to be like Peggy, who knew your heart and mind. We think about Elijah and the Apostle Paul. Help us to be close enough to hear you whisper like you did to Samuel. And then help us, Lord, to be obedient because we love you, to do whatever you're calling us to do. Come and revive us, Lord. Come and renew and refresh us. Come and fill us, Lord, with boldness and courage, with joy and grace. Come and fill us, Lord, afresh with your spirit, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we want to see you glorified here and in every church and all over this island. Help us not to just do our own thing, Lord, and ask you to bless it. Help us to be where you are and all that you're doing. Help us to be sensitive when we meet people, because we've been praying for people. Lord, even through this David Hamilton weekend, that you would begin to bring many people to yourself, Lord. And just what you've done in us and all that you mean to us. Lord, move mightily for the glory of your name. Amen.